Hello again, you're listening to This Week with Colm O'Mungon and Richard Crowley. And next to Croke Park 2 and the ballots on that deal hammered out a few weeks ago, the results of the ballots are expected on Monday, April 15th. Between now and then, expect some furious canvassing. So let's talk separately to the two sides. For more on this, I'm joined here in Dublin by Bernard Harbour of the Public Services Union Impact, which is recommending a yes vote, and from our Waterford studio by Owen Ronan of the Civil and Public Services Union, the CPSU, which advocates a no vote. Owen Ronan in Waterford, to you first. Is this a bad deal for everybody or just for your members?
Well, we think it's a bad deal for everybody because the focus is being shifted onto lower paid and middle income earners in the public service to yet again carry the can. Just listening to the earlier debate, there is a way around this and the government continuously refuses to grasp it, and that is to bring in a third tax band. It would be a simple, straightforward adjustment which would spread pain equally across those above 100,000, whether they're public sector or private sector. But this deal is bad not just for my members but for workers generally, including private sector workers. We reckon 3,000 private sector jobs will go as a result of this job, this deal. It's simply unfair to workers at the lower end. It's unfair to women, and it doesn't actually make any economic sense.
What is your strategy beyond achieving a no vote? Let's suppose you get a no vote. What then?
Well, that is the target, obviously, within my own union, and that's the primary focus of the CPSU, is on its own members. But we are part of an alliance of unions for the first time, which have come together because we are gravely concerned at the injustices in the deal. What happens after is clearly a decision for the Public Services Committee on the 17th of April. If there is a historic no vote, and to my knowledge it will be the first in a long, long time, then obviously there will have to be a period of taking stock to work out what happens next, because that will be quite a dramatic development.
But why would you be asking people to vote no without knowing what the next stage of your plan is? You haven't thought it through.
Oh, well, it is thought through. I mean, we have a very clear view, and I've already said to you what I think is the solution to the problem. The government doesn't need the crisis that would follow if they were to embark on the legislative route, which is the threat being made by the ministers at the moment, that they'll screw workers to the ground. I don't believe they're going to do that. I believe they will take stock, like we'll have to take stock. And the situation will then be a question of finding a route that will work.
What do you think they're going to reopen negotiations?
Well, they're faced with a pretty stark choice at the end of a no vote. The agreement won't have happened. They'll have to decide what happens next, as they have given us the two choices. Well, the one choice that they've opted for is a legislative route to impose, but that immediately backs people into corners. The country doesn't need a crisis.
What's this crisis you're talking about, Owen?
Well, the general view is that economically we are in a good place, in the sense that the international financial markets...
No. I mean, when the government... Let's suppose there is a no vote and the government decide they're going to introduce legislation that will allow them to impose these cuts or even harsher cuts on you. What then? What is the option open to you at that point, bar strike?
Well, I don't think we would be looking at anything less than a strike. I mean, if there were to be an imposed solution which was unfair and more unfair than what is in this agreement, as the yes side would argue, well, then there is going to be a standoff, and most standoffs have to be resolved. Now, I would suggest that the practical way for us all is to get back to the table. That's the normal thing the professionals do. However, I'm asking the question, does the government want to push us into a corner where we have no option but to return to the weapon of industrial action? That doesn't make any economic sense for this country.
Do you really believe that there's an appetite within the trade union movement for strike action or some form of industrial action, or indeed do you believe that there's any public support for such a move?
Well, first and foremost, the attitude in the trade union movement will depend entirely on the attitude of the government. If the government decides to get hot and heavy, well, then there's a problem for the trade union movement, which it'll have to respond to. On the other hand, we would be saying, look, this is straightforward. It's a deal where trade union negotiators, we do it day in, day out at different levels in the business that we're in. Let's sit back and look at the deal. If it doesn't work, there's something wrong with it. Sensible people will have a look at that and say, well, where did we go wrong?
Owen Ronan of the CPSU, thank you for joining us from our Waterford studio here in Dublin. Bernard Harbour of Impact. Bernard Harbour, this is not a deal. Owen Ronan is right. This is not a deal. This is being imposed on you. And the threat was, accept this bad deal or we'll legislate and impose an even worse one on you.
I think it's right to say that there's a high risk that something worse will be imposed if the deal is rejected. I don't think it's fair to say that the whole thing is an imposition that we have right now. And the reason I say that is the management agenda coming to these talks was looking for far more in terms of changes to working conditions and people being subject to pay cuts.
But that was just their opening gambit, wasn't it? That was the usual.
I think the important thing and the thing that we've been saying to members of Impact, and I respect Owen's view, I don't agree with it, but Owen made the point that if there's a rejection of this, we will have to sit down and work out what happens next. And I think that that's the problem. If there is a rejection of this deal, first of all, we know that the alternative is much more uncertainty. And secondly, we believe, our judgment is, that the outcome is likely to be much worse, not just for people on higher paid salaries, but for lower paid workers as well.
Well, Owen Ryan seems to think there's some form of resistance there, that first of all, you're duty bound to reject such an unfair deal, and that there may be some margin for movement thereafter, that it doesn't necessarily mean that the government can move this legislation and impose a different deal upon you.
I think, I mean, it's true to say that the deal that's being balloted now is an awful deal. Nobody wants to be in this position. It means that for 13% of public servants, there'll be a reduction in their salaries, the third reduction in their salaries. And for all public servants, there'll be big changes to working conditions. But there are some things that we know for a fact. Last week in the Doyle, the Taoiseach told the Doyle that they were preparing legislation for the event of a no vote. If there is a no vote, there will be legislation. They've said that repeatedly. Managers in the public service, at the top of the public service, have repeatedly said that the savings will be made. If they don't have an agreement, they prefer an agreement. But if there is no agreement, the savings will be made. And I want to remind people that the management agenda of changes to working hours, to flexi time, to redeployment limits, to outsourcing, all of that will remain on the table if this is rejected. But there'll be no agreement which allows trade unions to moderate and to restrict management that tries to push that beyond the realms of what we have agreed through a negotiation.
But as Owen Ronayne said, there's a political background to all of this, in that he would say and others would say that the government had choices, economic choices to make, and they chose not to make them, but instead they're, if you like, imposing this on the ordinary workers, where at the same time politicians through their pensions are still being well paid, people at the upper echelons of the banks and within RTE are being very well paid. How do you sell this as a fair deal, as a good deal to your people?
Well, if this was a ballot on government economic policy, there would be no division. All of the unions believe that the government's economic policy, the austerity approach, has not worked. It's taking money out of the economy. The problem is that this is not a ballot on government economic policy. This is a choice between the Croke Park agreement, the Croke Park approach to taking a billion out of the public service pay bill, which will happen anyway, or some other approach which we believe certainly will be less certain and probably will be much worse.
Is this going to cause a split in the trade union movement?
No, I don't think it is. I think that it's actually a credit to the trade union movement that we've got a very, very robust debate around this issue, as we do over a number of other issues. And I'd say to you, it's like this because it's a terrible deal. We always have a very healthy debate about these agreements when they're being balloted.
We're not going to see any unions leaving Congress as a result.
Well, I hope that we won't. It's very, very seldom that that has happened in the past. I hope that that won't happen. I don't think that that's in anybody's interests. But the most important thing right now is that people, when they're looking at their ballot papers, they think, first of all, how does this affect me? Right. And second, what's the alternative? And that's really the big question.
Bernard Harbour of Impact, thank you very much indeed for coming in.